I want to talk some about knowing God today. Of course, it's in our motto. You see it up there. Know God, take action. Knowing God, one of the most amazing things that you and I get to do that the world can't do unless they believe him, receive him, we get to know God. Sounds very simple, and it is in one sense, but it is spectacular. Really, think about it just for a moment that we get to know the most important, the most powerful being in the universe, the creator of the universe. We are invited to get to know him, to know him personally. I mean, there are people who are, trying so hard to get to know someone famous, would do crazy things to get in the presence of someone famous so they could try and get to know them a little bit. And here we have the creator of everything that invites us to know him. He says, it's basically, you can read through the entire of the scriptures, he created us to know him. We were meant to know him. The God's desire is for us to know him. Psalm 34:6 says, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. It points out this, as we get to know him, something we can be really confident in is that he hears us when we say something, when we pray something. This poor man cried, the Lord heard him. As a child of God, as a son or a daughter of God, God hears you. He hears me when you say something, when you pray something. I believe it's when we think something toward him, he hears that. He hears us. Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. And you and I are righteous because of what Jesus has done, right? We've put on his righteousness. So we are righteous. His eyes are toward us and his ears are open to their cry. When you cry out, the Lord hears your cry. Should be no question with that. He hears my prayer. He hears my cry. His eyes are upon me. He's watching. He's looking. 1 John 5:14 in the New Testament says this, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked from him. We are heard. You are heard. So we can be confident in that. But there's also this other portion of yes, we can be heard, and yes, we are heard, but there's this other portion which is our part, in addition to requesting, saying things, praying things, and that's hearing God, the listening side, which isn't as talked about, which isn't as thought upon as much, but it is extremely necessary for any relationship because God is a communicator. He's a speaker. He talks to us. He wants to, and he's talking to us, I believe, nearly all the time. There's communication from him for the person that hears, that listens, and that's what relationship is. When God formed Adam in the dirt, made him in the image of himself, it's interesting, when he got to the head, what he did, he gave us a double portion of something. Eyes, but also ears. Gave us one mouth. Perhaps there's an indicator there that we should be speaking half as much as we're listening. Maybe, but he certainly gave us two ears to hear, to listen, not just to him, but to one another. Listening is pretty important. And there's a phrase that Jesus used more than any other phrase, more than any other thing that he said as a phrase over and over and over is, you have any idea what it is? He who has an ear, let him hear. He who has an ear, let him hear. And of course, that could be a literal, do you have an ear? But I think it's more the spiritual thing and a heart condition of, are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Are you paying attention to what I'm saying? He said it 8 times in the Gospels and 7 times in Revelation. Same thing. He who has an ear, let him hear. When he's speaking to all of the churches of Revelation, he would say it to them. He who has an ear, let him hear what I'm saying to you. This is important. Please listen to me. I hate that Jesus has to remind us to listen to him, but he does. God does the same thing. The Father is encouraging us to listen to him. And that he who has an ear, let him hear, it really means listen up, pay attention. And when we see Jesus or read him saying this, it really is, what is he saying right here? Because this is necessary. This is important. I have an acquaintance, a guy that I've known for over 20 years, and I see him a couple times a year. He doesn't go to our church. I see him a couple times a year, and I can't think of one time that he's ever asked me a personal question. I ask him questions, but he knows nothing about my life. It's a one-way relationship, which is a very shallow relationship. And that can often be the way that I or that we are with the Lord, where we never ask the Lord a question, where we don't find out what's on his heart, what's going on with you. It's one way. I need this, I need that. Would you help this person? Would you do that? Lord, I need. Lord, I praise you. All kind of wonderful, great things that we should do. Asking, requesting, praying, praising, shouting, worshiping, all those wonderful things. But there is this other huge element, if it's going to be a relationship, where there's a listening. Where there's a listening. And listening has to be intentional. It has to be intentional. There has to be this putting me aside for a moment and being interested in the other party. Enough to ask a question. Enough to have this ear that's listening. And you know, that spiritual ear that's listening also means, I think, an engagement of the whole being, like your eyes, your senses, that you are paying attention. It's not just hearing, but it's everything. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus shares one of the things that is one of the scariest things to me. As I've read this passage since I've been a kid, it's been a scary one to me. And here's why. Here, let me read this. Verse 21. He says, not everyone who says to me, this is Jesus speaking, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says this to me, to Jesus, they believe in him basically. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Wow. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Man, is that a sobering verse to you? It is to me. And here's what Jesus is not saying here. He's not saying don't prophesy, don't do miracles, don't cast out demons. That has nothing to do with this. In fact, he says to do those things. It's clear in there that he's given us authority to cast out demons, that every believer can prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14 and 12 tells us this. We should be prophesying. We should be involved with doing miracles. Jesus said, the same things that I did, you can do too, and even greater things. So that's separate. Although some people teach the opposite of that, that he's saying here, you shouldn't do none of those things. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, in the midst of doing what I've asked you to do, I want to know you. I want to know you. I don't want you to just do a bunch of good stuff. I don't want you to just stay actively engaged in action and ministry. But I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I want you to know me. That's what Jesus is saying. His great desire is that you would have a desire to know him. It's in his heart. You see it all the way through. Everything he does is setting up these invitations to get to know him. Even when he gave, you know, when he gave the law at the beginning, some people have made a God out of the law. The law and the commandments and the directions are all meant to point to him, to know him. That's why the Pharisees missed him, because they didn't know him. They just knew his law. They weren't interested in knowing God personally. They were interested in checklists and looks. Jesus is saying, I want to know you. I want to know you, and I want you to know me, to know me so well. It's what we get to do. And knowing means asking questions. It means listening. In fact, let's just do this real quick. If you could turn around behind you or look in front of you at someone, not next to you, but in front of you or behind you, that you probably don't know very well, and just ask them this one question. Okay, here you go. Ask them this question, and you have to go back and forth here. Ask them, when did they start following Jesus? Like, around what year? Okay. So, let me ask you now, how many of you learned something you didn't know before? Right. When you ask a question of someone, you're going to learn something you did not know before. In Jeremiah, the Lord says to Jeremiah, this is so interesting how he does this, he says to Jeremiah, ask of me and I will speak to you. I'm going to share things with you that you don't know. And he's that same way all the way through. He is asking us to ask him. Ask me things. He wants to reveal the secrets of heaven. He wants to reveal the secrets in his word. He wants to reveal himself to us in ways that are beyond what we know, beyond what we can think. He's got these secrets and these wonderful things for us to learn about him. There's this story in the scriptures. It's in Luke chapter 9. I won't read the whole thing. You guys know the story as well. Jesus says to James and John and to Peter, guys, come follow me. Let's take a hike together. Let's climb a mountain together. So the four of them do a trek. I don't know how long it took. They make up to the top of the mountain. And then Jesus says, okay, let's pray a little while. They begin to pray. The three guys fall asleep. As they kind of wake up a little bit, they see something they've never seen before. Jesus is wearing, he's got his clothes are radiant, spectacular, shining. And he's talking to two guys that they somehow recognize, though they'd never met them personally, as Moses and Elijah. Jesus is being glorified, emanating, and he's talking with two guys who've been dead for hundreds of years. And then the scene, the two guys go away. They are fully awake at this point. And Peter says, Jesus. I mean, he was moved by this. He says, I want to do something right now. Let's build a tabernacle, a monument, something to remember this experience by. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I want to do that right now. And as he's speaking, the Bible says, a cloud begins to form in the air around them. And then the Father speaks audibly. We don't have it recorded that he spoke audibly between this moment and at the Jordan when Jesus was baptized. And he said back then in Mark 1:11, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So fast forward, here we are. The cloud is forming. The voice of the Father speaks to these three guys. And he says, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him. What an interesting moment. They're wanting to do something and build something, and the Father interrupts Peter's idea for construction project and says, no. Not that that's a horrible thing to do, but it's not the point. I want you to get this, Peter and James and John. The Father's saying, this is my Son. He came from heaven. Listen to him. Open up your ears to him. He is speaking, and you need to be listening to him. Listening to Jesus is an action for us a daily activity for us that is so important for you and I. It's interesting that when God gave the Israelites manna to eat every day, they couldn't collect enough for 2 or 3 days at once. It would spoil, go bad, it would rot. That was only good for that day. And so they had to every day get manna. Of course, what did Jesus say in John chapter 6? I am the manna. I'm the living manna that came down out of heaven to give life to the world. Well, I think also there's another element of that in that he's saying, come eat of me every day. Listen to me every day. This is a relationship. I didn't just save you and pay for your sin so that you would be freed and go to heaven one day. I paid for you and purchased you that you would be mine and that we would walk together. That you'd get to know me, and then I would get to know you, and we'd have a fellowship and relationship that is so tight that as you enter the next realm, there's no surprise because you've been walking with me all these days that you've been on the earth, fulfilling my Father's will. And then we're gonna enter into the next place and the next phase and the next season together. He wants to know you and I. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. This is in Isaiah. This is 600 years before Jesus came. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Proverbs 8:34. I'm going to read this in the Passion. If you wait at wisdom's doorway, longing to hear a word every day, joy will break forth within you as you listen for what I'll say. As we wait at wisdom's doorway, listening for what he wants to say, joy will break forth on the inside as you listen. So there's a, to me, all of this has to do with a posture. The posture of our heart, the posture of my life. Life changes to be something of an adventure and extremely exciting when we have a posture of what is God going to say today? I'm telling you what, it changes every day. It will change your day every single day if our posture is, Lord, what are you saying? What are you speaking? What do you want to communicate to me? And God communicates in thousands of different ways. It's not all verbal words. It's not audible, across the landscape, earth shaking, that type of thing. That's rare. But he speaks in thousands of ways. Similar to the communication between my wife and I, which I've learned over almost 24 years of marriage now, she communicates in numerous ways. And it behooves me to pay attention to the different ways that she communicates. Instead of just expecting her to communicate one way, and if I don't hear it that one way, I'm not paying attention. That is a limited, weak relationship. A relationship that's going to be vibrant and thriving is where I'm fully paying attention, where I'm listening to the different ways that she communicates. It's the same with God. If my wife speaks in those many, many different ways, how about the creator of the universe? Him speaking in dozens of different ways for you personally. If we're paying attention, if I'm postured inwardly to hear him, he is communicating. He really is. I'm not going to take the time to read all of this, but in 1 Samuel chapter 3, there's this incredible story. By the way, you know what the name Samuel means? It means the one who hears. So his name, his very name, speaks of listening. So you remember Samuel, his mother, Hannah, gave him to the priest, dedicated him to the Lord. Samuel is there sleeping next to the Ark of the Covenant in the temple. And he hears something. He hears his name, Samuel. He wakes up, or when he hears that, his name. But he thinks it's Eli. So he runs into Eli, wakes Eli up and says, what would you like? And he said, I haven't said a word. Go back to sleep. This happens 3 times. On the 3rd time, Eli said, I wonder if the Lord's speaking to the boy. So he said, something so powerful and beautiful and that we can grab a hold of today. He said, Samuel, the next time you hear that, though it sounds like me, I want you to do something. I want you to respond and say to God, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. It may sound like Eli, but I'm going to say, Lord, if this is you, talk to me. And when he did, the next time I heard his voice, his name, he said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And the Lord began to speak to him with a lot of things prophetically. And I found it in my life, it took me till I was 26 before I began to understand some of the ways that God was speaking outside of the word to me personally. Because I had a very narrow mindset of the way that God likes to communicate, and I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't listening for Jesus daily. I was not looking throughout the day wondering, how's he going to talk to me today? What's he want to say to me? And we're going to do a hearing God's voice, Lord willing, hearing God's voice series here this fall. We're going to talk about many of the different ways that God speaks because it is life-changing. If you realize that God's speaking to me every day and I just haven't been seeing him or paying attention in this way. I've been waiting for a baseball bat over the side of the head, and sometimes I get those. But the Lord is most of the time just wanting this natural communication and that we are paying attention to what he's saying. And life really does, it really does change because he speaks so many different ways. There is a battle for your attention and for your ear. You realize that? We've got these devices. I talk about this a lot, but it's just so real and just part of our culture. There's a battle for your ear, what you're listening to, because our devices and our televisions and our computers and some relationships can take 100% of our listening time easily. It can just fully be entertained constantly, be listening and watching and absorbing so many things and miss out so much on this knowing God. Asking him questions and then listening. Asking him questions and listening. When was the last time you asked the Lord a question and then just waited? Practiced intentional listening. Or went through your day saying, okay, God, how are you going to talk to me today? What is it that you want to say? What's on your mind? Here's a great question for someone if you want to get to know them. What are you thinking about? You can say that to your friend, say that to your spouse. How about to the Lord? What's on your mind today, Lord? What are you thinking about today? What bothers you? What are you fixed on right now? I want to know what's going on in your heart. Not just say things to you, but what is going on with you? Let's have a dialogue. I want to get to know you more. One of the greatest joys is this. I want to tell one short story just because it was part of an awakening for me and a realization of how God communicates, but also how he is so much fun. So several years ago, I went with two or three friends. We were up in the hills about an hour from here. And it was a day to pray, a day to get away and just to pray. And so we all went to different places on this mountain. And I found this big rock to sit on in this green meadow. So I'm sitting up there on this rock. I'm praying, I'm reading. And I just was like, Lord, I want you to speak to me. Would you talk to me? And I didn't hear a thing. No words. There was nothing that, got my attention. No lightning, nothing like that. As I was about to leave, I looked down and I saw in front of my feet, it was a hawk feather about 8-9 inches long. And I thought, that's interesting. Look at that, beautiful. I didn't even notice it when I sat down. So I picked it up in my hand and I thought, I wonder if the Bible says anything about a hawk. So I flipped open the concordance in the Bible that I had at that time, and it, you know, I didn't have, this was before smartphone stuff. And it had one reference to a hawk in Job 39:26, and it says, and it's the Lord speaking, he says, "Do you see how the hawk stretches its wings and flies south?" And when I read that, it's like I heard in my spirit the Lord say, "I want you to move south." And I thought, oh boy. I'm not, you know, I came to this rock not asking about moving, changing addresses, selling a home, anything like that. And the people that I was around at that time were all moving north. They were all moving north. This was the exact opposite. And I found this to be true also. When we listen to the Lord, what he has to say is often the opposite of what we've been thinking about. He likes to interrupt and to present things that have not entered our mind yet to get us to places that we've never been, both in the spirit and even naturally. He has every idea, every creative idea that there is to have, he owns. And he's the director who's leading us in this life. And to get to where we're supposed to go, my listeners need to be on. I need to be paying attention to what he's saying. And so when I felt that or heard that, "I want you to move," it was so weird to me. So I was thinking about it. And I stood up and I went to take a step toward the car, and there was another feather. It was a little bit shorter. So I picked it up, and there's another one a little bit shorter. And there was this descending feathers. And I felt, again, this was inwardly, this wasn't verbal or out loud, audible, but I felt like the Lord was saying, "This is every member of your family." I was the big feather, and then my wife is a little shorter, and it just, and I, there was every one of our children. I've got these, at that point, I had four or five feathers in my hand. And then I looked down again, and there was a little baby, fluffy, fuzzy little feather, about that big. And we didn't have another child, and I thought, "Oh, okay, here we go." And honestly, it was about 2 or 3 months from there we found out we were pregnant with another feather. And so I went home, and I explained this to my wife. Oh, no, before that, sorry. I get to the car, and I told my friend who was driving, I said, "I got to tell you what just happened. I'm holding these feathers. It looks a little weird." So I explained to him what I, and he said, "That's interesting." So we start driving the vehicle, and we drive on Highway 421. And as we're driving on the road, I just told him the story. I look on the side of the road. He sees it at the same time. It's a street sign. And the street sign, you can look at it, I just looked at it this morning, says South Go Forth Road. Now I'm fully paying attention. I'm holding these feathers, and now there's a sign that says, "South." Who named their road South Go Forth Road? That's odd. So I get home, and I say to my wife, I tell her the whole story. This is a little weird to her, too. And I put the house for sale. I have nothing to go on other than this. It doesn't sell. Months go by, not one offer. I thought, "Man, how did I miss this, Lord? This seems really clear." And so for my birthday that year, I decided to take the day off and go house hunting. So we did. We drove around south of where we lived. We're driving around, and we get in this neighborhood, and my wife, we're at the top of this driveway, this long gravel driveway, and there's a house tucked in the woods back there. And she says, "Let's go back and look at that one." And but from the road, I just thought, looks like a big dollhouse to me. I don't know, but I said, okay. So we got our son in the back seat. He's probably 2 or 3 at that time. What was he? He was 2 and a half. And he strapped in. As we go down this road, he says from the back seat, when he could see the house, "That's my house," my little 2 and a half-year-old. As he said that, this humongous hawk flew right in front of our windshield. This is a true story. Flew right in front of our windshield and landed in the closest tree to the house and just looked at us. I pulled there in the driveway, all gravel, And I got out. It was a home that had just been built. No one was living in it. And we walked around, and this hawk just stared at us, which is odd. We looked around the whole house. We're looking in the windows. My wife says, I love this house. And so we inquired about it. It was under contract. Someone else was going to buy it. It was about to close in a couple weeks. Long story short, it fell through. We ended up buying the house. We lived there for 6 years. That is a ridiculous thing in one way, but there is no way we would have been there had the Lord not been not only communicating, but got my attention. And not, you know, the other homes that we've lived in since then, it hasn't been that dramatic. It's not always that way. I don't understand these things. What I do know is this: the Lord's fun. He's amazing. He's speaking all the time. He's wanting to communicate with you, to give you direction, to help you get to where you're supposed to be, to encourage your heart. And a lot of it comes through as you're reading his word. But if we're paying attention, he is taking us on an adventure. He's giving us things to give away. If we were paying attention to your dreams could be filled with things that are for other people. But if we're listening, we're paying attention. When you're driving, the way that we really planted this church up here, one of the big parts of it was when we drove up, I drove up that day, the first time I ever came to Winston, I saw the street sign that said 2000, and it just really stood out to me. Of course, then I found this little building, and on the door it said, Equipping Saints for Full-Time Ministry, which was the motto of our church at that moment. That got my attention. And then I asked, how big is this building, to the landlord? He said, it's exactly 2,000 square feet. And I went, oh my goodness, there's something here. Lord, you're saying something. You're putting clues out there. You know, for some of the people who think that God only speaks through his word. Now, he does. It's the more sure word of prophecy. He speaks through his word, but boy, does he speak in a lot of other ways. And he's wanting us to know him, to ask him those questions, to get in there, to not let a day go by without me saying, Lord, what do you want to say today? Eating of that manna today, or I'm eating of you. What do you want to say? What's on your heart? What's on your mind? Where are you leading me? What do you want me to do for someone else today? It turns into a super adventure-filled, vibrant life. You know, there have been moments in my life where I feel like God has not used me at all for a long period of time. And at that point, I got frustrated and angry and at God. And I've realized that whenever that happens, it's usually not God. That's the problem. Not usually. Every time. It's me. I'm caught up in my own stuff. I'm not paying attention. I'm not listening. I'm either been drawn away, distracted by other things, and I'm not engaged with him. But when you're engaged with him and he's communicating and I'm hearing, there's some great stuff that's going to happen through my life and your life. So I want to encourage you today to ask the Lord the question. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. And to make it part of your habit every day. Not just a one-time thing, not just today, but to add this to who you are. It's like, I've decided I'm going to eat lunch every day. It's what I'm going to do. What if we made those kind of decisions when it comes to the Lord? I'm going to eat of his word today, every day. I'm going to ask him to speak to me every day. I'm telling you what, those kind of things cause your senses to be awakened and to be paying attention to what he's saying, and then he leads us in his ways and his truth, and it's a blast. Okay, we want to receive communion today too. This is a great time to do this. As we remember what he's done for us, Jesus said, actually, before I say that, why don't we all stand? That's all right. We've got the elements, grape juice, gluten-free bread scattered around on all these tables around us. And after just having said what I said about engaging with God and listening to him, let's do that as we partake, and maybe partake individually today, just where you are receiving him in a natural way with this bread, remembering what he's done, but also receiving him personally in our lives and asking him, what do you want to say today? What are you saying to me? Sometimes it's going to be those things that you give away. Sometimes it's for you. So let's actually go ahead and make your way to your closest spot here. Elizabeth will play. I want to share a couple more things. Jesus said to remember him as often as we do this, that this juice, this drink represents the new covenant in his blood, the brand new covenant in his blood. It's not like it used to be, where you just try and do a bunch of good things, hoping that you'll be pleasing to him in some way, someday. This is an entirely different covenant that we have entered into with him. We can have confidence that he hears us. We are born anew and again and afresh. We are owned by him. Our sins have been washed away entirely. Everything we've confessed melts away, goes away, gets cast as far as the east is to the west, far from his remembrance. We have peace with God. Jesus said, remember me. And it's like the Father reminding the disciples, listen to him. Jesus is also saying, I want you to remember something. Remember what I've done for you. Remember the pain that I've gone through, the love that I've given. He said, for us, that this bread speaks of his body, which was broken, torn, shredded, ripped, beaten. He said he did it all for us. And this element, this bread that we hold in our hands, is to remind us of the healing that he purchased for us, of his body that was broken so that we can be healed up in body and in spirit, cleansed on the inside. It also speaks of him personally, eating of him, going to places that we can't see. When you swallow that bread, it's going to go, it's going to disappear. And it's going to go and touch the rest of your body, and that's what Jesus does. So Lord, we just remember you right now. Remember you personally, what you've done for us, the beauty and the amazing trip that you took from heaven and shedding several dimensions to become a baby and then a young boy and then a young man and then a man and to walk this world's paths as the light of the world, as the way, the truth, and the life, and then to ransom us and to pay for ourselves, to pay for our sin. Thank you for setting us free. We just say that today, Lord. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you. Thank you for going all the way through. Thank you for not quitting halfway through. Thank you, Jesus, while you're hanging on the cross before it was finished. Thanks for not stopping there. Thanks for finishing all of your course. Thanks for being an example to us. And thank you for bringing us in with you to this relationship with you, to this relationship with the Father, to this relationship with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for cleansing us and healing us. We, as we receive these today, we receive all that you purchased for us. Healing, wholeness, cleansing, forgiveness, power, love, a sound mind, a transformed mind. We receive beauty for ashes. We receive Christ-likeness, righteousness. We remember you. In Jesus' name, why don't you go ahead and just take some time just individually with him. you, Lord. Lord, I just bless every single person, their lives, their families, their job, their home, their vehicles, every part, Lord. I ask for your blessing, for your help, for your sustaining power, for your nearness. Lord, I pray that you would awaken us fully like you did the disciples on the mountaintop when they were fully awakened inside you. Lord, I pray that we would live in that place, fully awakened to you, to what you're doing, to who you are, and that our senses would be fully awakened. We love you and we're thankful for you, Lord. Be with every single person throughout this week, not only to protect them, but to use them and to speak to them. Thank you for this adventure that will take off with every person here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, we've got ministry teams, prayer teams that are up here. If you'd like to receive prayer for anything, they would be happy to talk to you and minister to you. We have prophetic ministry, which is basically encouraging words from heaven for you. Don't miss out on that. That's such a great thing. That doesn't happen a lot. It's hard to find that, but that's out in our family room today. Have an incredible week. Enjoy your family and the Lord. Lord bless you guys.